Tonight's reading is from Proverbs chapter 1, which in the Pew Bibles is on page 635. Proverbs chapter 1, and starting from verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things, and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease, without fear of harm.
Good evening.
Well, that's a bit loud. Well, do keep your Bibles open.
One of the things sometimes don't notice is when you're preparing for a sermon, you don't realise actually the passage is quite long to be read out in church sometimes. But it's useful. I think it's good to go through some long passages from time to time in church, like we've just done. If you've browsed on Amazon at all, or you've been to Waterstones, it's more than likely you've come across the For Dummies series of books. Apparently there's about 100 titles in this series. There's some up there. Facebook for Dummies. Office 2010 for Dummies. The Internet for Dummies. Bird Watching for Dummies. Parenting for Dummies. I could say I've got the whole collection, I haven't. But the series taps into our desire to learn and to become better at something. But it does so in a particularly unique way. It does in a very simple way. And the success of the series is very much down to the way it tries to take something complex and make it simple, in a way in which the reader simply gets it. They understand it because they just get it. The same can be said of the book of Proverbs in many ways. It takes the deep and complex wisdom of God and provides it to us in such a way that we can get it. We can simply understand it. It makes the complex simple for us, understandable and accessible for ordinary folk like you and me. Wisdom for dummies. Now, the dictionary I use online describes a proverb as this: a short, well-known, pithy saying stating a general truth or piece of advice. So we've got proverbs we use day to day. We may not recognise them as proverbs. Things like "he who dares wins," "fortune favours the brave," "don't look a gift horse in the mouth." Some of you know I've just been to Japan for the week, so here's a Japanese one: "even monkeys fall from trees," which means even experts make mistakes. And some might be relatively modern, but others have lasted a long time because they've stood the test of time. And the book of Proverbs, I think, is like that. It's stood the test of time because it's a collection of collections of proverbial wisdom. It's designed to help the people of God, you and me, to learn something of the ways and wisdom of God. How to live in this life in the light of the next. It tells us what is true and right, combined with good judgment, in a way in which we get it. So if you look at chapter 1, verses 2 to 6, we have a collection of words which describe kind of wisdom we can get from Proverbs and what it's useful for. So instruction. The previous NIV had discipline instead of instruction. That kind of correcting of how we live. Instruction in prudent behaviour, verse 3. Understanding. Discernment. Insight. The ability to make good plans. Discretion. Being able to be careful. Learning, grasping what a teacher wants to convey to us. Guidance, steering us through life. And despite the centuries that separate us from the original authors, the book of Proverbs, and I think we sometimes kind of don't realise this, the book of Proverbs remains tangible and practical and relevant. And the reason being is because the issues, the human issues that Proverbs address, are constant from generation to generation, from century to century. They touch on things that we all face, that making friends, coping with sexuality, handling money, responding to poverty, making a living, learning through loss, muddling through difficulties, facing death, and so on and so on. Human issues that are the same now as they were 2,000-3,000 years ago. And frequently what Proverbs does is it addresses these things by pointing at life and simply saying, look, isn't this what life's like? Isn't this true about life? And it's able to do that because it's based on the sense that this world is an ordered creation of a wise God. That's what underpins the ability of the writers of Proverbs to say, isn't life like this? Isn't this how it should be? Or isn't this how it is? It's an ordered creation of a wise God, and a God who wants human beings to flourish. So Proverbs reflect on what makes the best of human lives and relationships, and then points at it. But as it does, it urges us frequently to seek after and gain this wisdom. We're going to look at some in a bit, in verse 8 to 19 in particular. The first 9 chapters frequently take the pattern of a father urging his son to be wise, to pursue wisdom, to gain wisdom, to live wisely, in a variety of different contexts. And the reason he does is because this father that we read about, he recognises, he knows that wisdom pays. Wisdom pays now, in this life. Wisdom pays later on. And one of the recurring, pictures that Proverbs uses is this contrast between the wise on the one hand and the foolish on the other. If we think about our own lives, if we think about people we know, it's more than probable we could relate to where we've seen wise decisions made that have reaped benefit, and where we've seen foolish decisions made that have reaped pain. Let me give you some examples, maybe from our own experience or from seeing it in others, the foolishness of losing one's temper in a situation and the resulting decline in a relationship, whether it's a home or at school, a at work or socially. In contrast, the wisdom of keeping one's patience, reaping the benefits of peace, continuing dialogue, maintaining and growing a healthy relationship. Maybe the foolishness of getting into debt that can't be paid back and the consequences that come from that, the stress, the tensions, the broken relationships and the financial troubles. Or the wisdom of choosing friends carefully, reaping the benefits of love and faithfulness and a steadying influence. I can certainly look back to when I was in my teens and my 20s, and I can recognise with the benefit of hindsight the foolishness of some of the friendships I've pursued and some of the peer pressure that I've bowed to. And I can contrast that to more recent times and the joy and blessing I've known from having great friends around, wise and godly friends. Just that foolishness contrasted with wisdom. And verse 10 to 19 in particular give us an immediate example of how wisdom pays, or more precisely in this case, how wisdom can avoid the penalty of foolishness. There's something always very attractive about going along with the crowd. In this instance, where are we? Verse 10. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. They say, come along with us. Let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. So in this instance, there's a crowd of sinful men enticing this young man to whom the instruction is directed. They're saying, come along with us. Join us. We're going to go and ambush someone. We're going to go and mug someone. We're going to get all sorts of valuable things out of it. We're going to have a great time. Now, I suspect most of us haven't had that kind of approach. Not in leafy suburbia. But actually, hopefully you can recognise this is a real gritty, real-life, earthy issue. This is the kind of thing Proverbs speaks to. We know, we've seen on the news a lot over recent years, the gang violence in London, for example. But whilst we may not have experienced that specifically, we might better draw analogies with our lives. So, for example, it could be the kind of pressures, similar pressures at school, at work, things like this. Come along with us, come on, let's go get drunk. Let's have a great time. Or at work, come on, let's cover this mistake over. Let's not tell anyone about this that we've done wrong. Or let's bully that person who sticks out. Let's have a go at that group of people who are different to us. Let's speak about our boss or our spouses or our friends behind their backs. Let's rebel against those who God has placed in authority over us. Come on, let's do it. We'll have a great time. We'll get away with it. We'll be satisfied. We'll feel great about ourselves. We'll reap the benefits. And these enticements may not be spoken all the time, but I suggest they're often felt or understood. The pressure to be part of the group, or the attraction of some sort of short-term pleasure or gain. But the father to his son, in this case, he points to life and he says to his son, look, be wise. This is what life is like. Be wise. My son, don't go along with them. Don't step foot on their paths. These men, they're just ambushed themselves. Verse 17 is a bit of an odd verse. It's probably the first proverb in the whole book. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. I've read a couple of, well, two or three different views on what this verse means. But what I think it means is, even if you spread a net out in the open for a bird, even a bird's not stupid enough to go and walk in that net. So he's saying, look, we know this is going to cause trouble. We know this is going to cause you problems. So don't be stupid enough to go and walk into that net and go and stand in that net. Because he points to the consequences. He sees, the godly parent sees where it will all end. Verse 12. The grave that they think they're going to swallow this person up into. Actually, it's them they're going to reap the. It's them they're going to suffer. It's their life that's going to be diminished. And the question is, can the son see the longer term picture? Can he see that rather than finding a sense of belonging or a sense of identity with this group of peers, the person who's going to get most hurt will be himself? I think this wisdom from a parent to a child should cause us to stop and think. Think about our own interrelationships with others. We're made in the image of God, the Holy Trinity, and one aspect of that is that we are made to be relational. We live in a network of relationships with other people. And the principle behind the wisdom in this passage is that we are shaped by the nature and quality of the relationships we form. This son, if he forms this relationship with this group of people, that will shape who he becomes. And on the flip side, we shape others by the nature and the quality of the relationships we form with them. Which means that we should consider the attractiveness of the moment against the long-term consequences. Which is easier said than done. There's a principle we do well to remember. It might be the attractiveness of a quick fix, the attractiveness of a short moment of intimacy, or a moment of popularity, or a moment of belonging and identity. We need to stop and consider, what story do we want our lives to tell? When we look back at that precise moment, when we look back at that moment in our later in our lives, will we look back with joy or with regret? Will that moment shape us and others in godliness or in sinfulness? Because whether we are wise or foolish now has consequences in this life. Wisdom pays now, just as foolishness penalises now. And it may be difficult and it may be costly to exercise wisdom. It may be, in the case of peer pressure, that trying to find that sense of belonging, that exercising wisdom actually could lead to loneliness. Exercising wisdom could lead to rejection or even abuse. It could require us to swallow our pride or pass up on an opportunity to get our own back on someone. It may require some sacrifice of ourselves. But God promises us through Proverbs that wisdom brings blessing. Let's just jump over to, turn the page over to Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 18. The writer here, Solomon, is just urging, he recognises that wisdom is more precious than anything else we could want. And he starts with this: blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. And in this respect, we need to trust God. We need to trust that His wisdom far exceeds our own wisdom. We need to trust that God is loving and faithful, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, and that any seeming short-term loss is nothing compared to the blessings that come from exercising wisdom. So I say wisdom pays now, and that's focusing very much on the fact that Proverbs is gritty, earthly wisdom. It is for the now, it is for the day-to-day, and it reaps benefits today, a blessing today. But the horizon of Proverbs is very much not just today. It looks obviously a lot further on. It isn't just this life that it has in mind. It's not just wise living for this life, but the eternal consequences of how we live in this life. So the second point is wisdom pays later. I don't know whether any of you have actually ever seen a town crier. I don't think I've ever seen a town crier, but I've certainly seen them on TV. And I think to be a town crier, you have to have a fair bit of confidence. You can't be a shy or retiring type. You have to be able to put yourself out there. You have to have a very loud voice, a very clear voice. You have to be quite happy to attract a lot of attention. Well, verse 20 to 33, the third part of this passage this evening, starts with this personification of wisdom as a bit like a town crier, calling out to anyone who will hear her in the public square, from the rooftops at the city gate, calling out her wisdom to anyone who will listen. I think the picture here is that wisdom is not some sort of secret knowledge. It's not the reserve of the educated or the elite. It's wisdom for everyone, in all circumstances, public and private. That includes all of us this evening. But again, these verses take us back to those two contrasting groups, the foolish and the wise. Verse 22, the foolish is described as simple. Now, wise doesn't mean simple like we might use that term as a kind of lacking intelligence. It's more about those who are silly, naive, seducible. They hate knowledge. They mock wisdom. They refuse to listen. They reject correction and rebuke. They refuse to take hold of wisdom's hand. And the consequence, if you look at verse 26 and 27, for the foolish is calamity and disaster. And what makes them fools, as far as Proverbs is concerned, is that they refuse to listen to God's wisdom, preferring instead to follow the crowd or their own fallible opinions. So if you look a bit further down in verse 29, they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Now I suspect some of you are saying, Dave, hang on a minute, you've missed out verse 7 here. Isn't verse 7 one of the key verses in Proverbs? It probably is the text on which the whole of Proverbs hangs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's what they're accused of in verse 29. They hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Because the first lesson in the school of wisdom is this: fear the Lord. This isn't a proverb or a riddle in verse 7, it's a simple statement of fact. Fear of the Lord, a reverence, obedience of the Lord, is the underlying principle for true knowledge. It's the underlying principle of the whole of Proverbs. It's not the beginning, as in, say, the beginning of a ball game and you leave it behind after you. It underpins the whole of Proverbs. Knowing how to live in this life in light of the next stems from recognising that this is God's world. He created it. He knows how He designed it to work. He knows what's best for us. It means submitting to His authority and wisdom in our lives, not our own. And the Bible doesn't mince its words. It very clearly warns us that if we don't do so, if we choose to rebel against God, if we refuse to reject His wisdom, the consequence is calamity and destruction. Verses 26 and 27. But on the other hand, the wise are those who listen to God, who take heed of His wisdom. So look a bit further down again, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease, without fear of harm. And this isn't just talking about the here and now, this is talking about eternity. It's not just a message of what you reap and sow in this life. Verses like verse 7 and verse 33 point beyond this life. So that's why Paul, when you go to 1 Corinthians, in his letter to the church in Corinth, who was a church who by worldly standards were not particularly impressive, few of them were wise by human standards, they were mostly the poor and lowly of the city, not many were intellectual or noble by birth, as Paul puts it. But in God's eyes, they were the wisest. How so? Because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And Proverbs talks about the here and now. We mustn't forget that. But actually, Proverbs throughout points us forward to Jesus. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it's because of Him, that's God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. God has made Himself personally known to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's through God that we have the full and perfect revelation, through Christ, that we have the full and perfect revelation of God, His character, His holiness, His compassion, His love, His justice, His sovereignty, and His wisdom. And it's through Christ in His person, His teaching, His death, His resurrection, that we're pointed to our most fundamental problem, sin. Our need to repent and seek God's forgiveness. And it's in the New Testament, again through Christ's death and resurrection, that we see our only means by which we can be restored into a right relationship with God is through Christ. So if you want something more precious than gold, then you start by obtaining the most central knowledge of all, and that is that there is a God who is powerful and personal, who loves each one of us, and who has extended to us through Jesus Christ his Son the hand of forgiveness and grace. And the wise person that we read in Proverbs 1 listens to God in Jesus, humbles himself before God, and seeks his forgiveness, trusting that Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins. So Proverbs teaches us how to live in this life, in the light of the next. It teaches us that wisdom pays now in this life. But it all starts with the fear of God, and it all points us towards the greatest wisdom of all, his Son Jesus Christ, through whom and because of whom we can have the sure and certain hope of eternal life, safe and secure in the loving arms of God. And so we come back to that verse 33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That's the promise to those of us who listen to God and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Life will not be a bed of roses in this life. Life is not easy, life is tough. And that's where Proverbs speaks to us about the difficulties day to day in this life. But if we listen to God and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can know that we rest in God's caring and loving arms through those difficulties. We can know the peace from God that comes from being his son or his daughter. And we can live without fear, knowing that this is not what it's all about, this life. This doesn't come to an end here. There is more to come, and we have a sure and certain hope. There's just one more proverb I want to share, which is Proverbs 24, verse 14. I can't remember how I stumbled across this one, but I thought it was a beautiful proverb. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. So there's probably just three things which I want to close with, of words of encouragement. Hopefully, words of encouragement. I think the first one is this. I think I've been guilty, and I suspect a few of us have been, of not really giving Proverbs much attention. We kind of think it's full of, you know, nice pithy sayings and little gems here and there, things we remember or things we turn to from time to time. But I've become persuaded in preparing for this evening that Proverbs is worth spending a lot more time in it than maybe we do. Bill Hybels talks about how he went through Proverbs slowly, piece by piece, over a period of 10 years. Which means actually he was chewing over bits of Proverbs a lot and taking each one and saying, right, how does this apply to my life? What's this saying to me today or in a year's time? Proverb by proverb by proverb. I think we could skip over a lot of Proverbs and just focus on the ones that we kind of get drawn to. But I think there's merit in really taking them one at a time and chewing them over and thinking prayerfully, how does this apply to me today? The second thing is this. Maybe we hear we know God and we love God and we're saved, but we recognise we're caught in a pattern of foolishness in some aspect of our lives. I think we need to recognise that if we simply try and correct that by ourselves, we will inevitably fall into that same foolishness again. What we need to do is we need to turn to God, we need to turn to his word, we need to seek out his wisdom and his will in that specific thing in our lives. That may be within Proverbs, it may be elsewhere, and it may be with close friends of ours, to actually bring it out into the open and say, you know, I'm really struggling with this, I recognise that I'm being foolish, what does God's word say about this? And working that through and praying with others about it. And then thirdly, maybe this evening you don't know God. Maybe you haven't ever or yet turned to him. Maybe you also find yourself in a spiral of foolishness in some aspect of your life and you recognise that. I'd urge you, make the wise choice that will redirect your whole life on a course of hope and blessing for this life and for all of eternity. This is where you need to start. Make that wise choice to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. Let's just close our eyes and maybe just chew over those areas of our lives where we recognise that we are being a bit foolish. And let's bring those to God in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you that you live in our hearts by your Spirit. And we thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to read it, to learn it, to meditate on it, and have your words ready on our lips that our trust may be in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you that through you we have been made right with God, restored and forgiven. Lord, we know that to many around us this is foolishness, and we're often tempted to live in the same way, not trusting your wisdom and your word, but rather following the wisdom of the world. Lord, please forgive us for those moments we have done that. Please, may we be wise to this by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, please help us this week to be making wise decisions day by day, that we may grow in godliness and serve your purposes. And finally, Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we need not fear, but we rest in your loving arms in safety and ease. Many of us face difficult circumstances today, Lord, but we ask that in amongst those difficulties, you would strengthen our trust and reliance in you and grant us that peace and that ease that only comes from knowing that we are your sons and daughters, you are a faithful and loving Father, and that your wisdom for our lives far surpasses our own. Lord, we ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.